this month, November is the last month we're going to be going through Ephesians, so make the most of it for the next couple weeks. It's a surprise. So I'm going to start with a Bible verse, actually. It's a verse from Ephesians. It's actually chapter 2, verse 10, which we've read a couple times already. It says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So based on this verse, why did God create us and make us?
To love
us. Not based on this verse. Exactly. So it seems like if that's why he made us, and that's why he, that's why he made us, then that's probably what we should be putting a lot of, or part of, or at least a lot of our life and energy should be put into that then. The problem is a lot of times when a lot of the things that would be good and a lot of things that that God might put in front of us are difficult and might make us uncomfortable most of the time. A small list of things here could be like, you know, spending time with somebody in your life that God's put in your life for a purpose, and that is, you know, that they would become a child of God, or maybe if they already are a child of God, that they would come closer to God. So intentionally taking all the relationships you have and saying, I'm in these relationships to help these people become better followers of Christ. Maybe leading a community group, or leading a Bible study. Something that might not, it's a good thing. It might seem like a good thing, but it might not be what you feel comfortable doing or what you would want to do. One thing that is actually, I think difficult for a lot of people is confronting other fellow Christians and other people when they see something in their life that doesn't look like what a Christian's life should look like. So you see something in their life that isn't really following Christ, and bringing that to their attention in a godly way and in a considerate, helpful way. That's actually really difficult, and it feels really uncomfortable when you see something in their life like, somebody's got to say something. I don't really want to, but somebody's got to. That's not really a lot of fun sometimes. Or like helping out here, setting stuff up, or playing music, or preaching like Philip does, or, you know, helping in the cafe and making food and just creating an environment of, you know, a family community together. Or taking things down. Yeah, there's a lot of things we could do, and there's a lot more than just those things. There's a lot of other things that would be things that would help God, that would be things that God has created us for, than just that short list. But a lot of them are things that we might feel like we aren't prepared for, or we just don't really want to because it's not something that we feel like that's we're comfortable with. We might not feel like we have what it takes, like the time or the energy or the money or just the ability. Maybe you say, you know, whatever this thing is in front of me that I feel like I should be doing, it's something that naturally it's just not me. And that's one of the reasons. And so those are the kind of the reasons that, even though that verse says we were created to do good works, a lot of times we end up not doing the good works that we were created for, because it just doesn't feel like something we want to do. It doesn't feel natural. The result of that is that we end up doing what we feel like we can do on our own, or what we're comfortable doing. And that's usually ends up being not very much, really. You know, we don't see God's power working in our lives because we don't do things that require God's power to be done in our life. We do what we can do on our own. So we end up passing on a lot of opportunities that God puts in front of us, and a lot of chances for us to grow and become more like Christ are skipped because we feel like it's not something that we can do naturally. I want to read a verse from John 14, verse 12. Says, this is Jesus talking to his disciples shortly before he was going to die, and he was telling them about, well, I'll just read it and then I'll explain. It says, "I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father." And in that section, he says, it's actually better for us and for them that he does go back to heaven to be with the Father, because the result of that is he's going to send his Spirit to be with us and to live in us and to guide us. So in that verse, he says, you know, if we are, says if we have faith in him, we will do just as great things as he did, and even greater things. If I look at my life, and I think a lot of us, probably for most of you guys, you can look at your life and say, I haven't done anything near what Jesus has done. At least I sure haven't. I think that is kind of the result of what I was talking about a minute ago, where we pass on the things that would require us to be aided by the Spirit, by God's Spirit. And the result of that is, you know, we feel kind of useless because we feel like we aren't doing what we were made to do. And we feel guilty because we know, okay, the Bible talks about these things, what our life should look like, and we know our lives don't really match up to this. Like this verse we just read, that we should be doing things as much, as great as Jesus did, and even greater. And I look at that, I go, okay, I'm not doing that. And I know you guys are probably thinking the same thing. So it kind of creates guilt inside, like, why am I not doing that? I'm not the Christian I should be. I'm not living the way God wants me to, so we just end up feeling bad. And the big idea for today is that that the Spirit of God empowers the children of God to do the mission of God. So ultimately, God has a mission that he has set up. You know, at the beginning, he created the world, and he created us, and he created, everything was perfect, and we sinned and broke that. And through Jesus, he brought restoration. He brought redemption, that we can have a chance to be forgiven for our sin that we have committed. And at the end of time, he's going to restore everything back to perfectness and to completeness, how it was at the beginning of time. So that's kind of God's big mission. And the point of today is that is going to be accomplished through him working through us. It's not something we can do on our own. It's only something that can be accomplished through God working in us. And an important thing to think about in this, I think, is that it's all of God's children. It's not just specific people that, like, you know, like the Apostle Paul, or like the people in the Bible that went around teaching and missionaries and stuff these days that go out other places and do, you know, crazy things that the most Christians feel like they can't do. It's actually for everyone. There's a verse I want to read to kind of make that point. It's Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. It says, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. So he says, you were included, and in the context he's talking to the church in Ephesians. I think this applies to us too, that we were included in Christ. And when that happened, we were marked with God's Spirit. So we all have God's Spirit. And again in... Yeah, and then again in Acts chapter 2, there's a verse that has a similar point to it. It says, Peter had preached to a crowd, and they were asking what to do to be right with God. And he says, Peter replied, repent and baptize every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. So Peter says what we have to do to be right with God. And then he says the result of that is we will receive the Holy Spirit. And it's not just for the people that he was talking to right then. He says it's for you and your children and for anyone who the Lord God will call. So anyone who God has called and they've responded, they have, it's promised that they will have God's Holy Spirit in them. So this idea that God is going to use, you know, use his Spirit and use people through his Spirit working in them to accomplish his mission, it's something that applies to everyone. It's not just there's super Christians and there's regular Christians. It's everyone. At the same time, it's just God's children. There's somebody who isn't God's child, they don't have his spirit in them. Peter, in this last verse, he says, you know, it is a result of making God your king and becoming his child. And if you haven't made God your father, you don't have his spirit living in you. So basically, the rest of what we're going to talk about doesn't really apply to you yet. And we'll get to that a little bit later, how to reconcile that. But just something to keep in mind is it's all of God's children, but it's also only God's children that his spirit will work through. And through his spirit, he fills us up. He gives us kind of like a sense of purpose and fulfillment and satisfaction that nothing else really can. And when we talk about finding your purpose in God and finding and just being satisfied through him, it's a lot of that comes through his spirit living inside of you and realizing that and developing that, I guess, and knowing that he's living inside of you and you have a new life through him. The verse in Ephesians, I think. Yes, 5:18. It says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. So it kind of puts out like two contrasting things. You can either, first thing he says is getting drunk. So it's kind of this idea of being in control of something else. Because, you know, when you're drunk or you're on drugs or something, you're not really yourself. You're kind of controlled by whatever the drug is or the alcohol. It kind of has a hold on you, a control of you. In the same way, saying, don't do that. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. So it kind of has this idea that instead of being controlled by chemicals in your body, instead being controlled by his Spirit, being led by him, and being fulfilled and filled by his Spirit. And the result of being filled by his Spirit is that he will empower us to do his work. Which is like the first verse you read, we were here to do good works for him. There's three verses I want to read about that, about how he empowers us. The first one is Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 through 20. It says, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all of the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that God, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. So think about somebody that was dead coming back to life on their own, and not somebody like in the emergency room that flatlines for a few seconds and then they zap them, they come back to life. Not like that. Somebody like Jesus, who is dead and in the ground and buried for 3 days, he came back to life. It wasn't like his heart just stopped for a few seconds and then he came back to life. He was completely dead. And God had enough power through his spirit to bring him back to life. If you look at like modern technology and everything that we've done, all the, you know, the huge things we build and the amazing things we're able to do, none of that really compares to taking something that's completely dead and making it alive. That's really something only God can do. That's just how it is. That's something only God can do, is take something completely dead and bring him back to life. And that's what he did to Jesus. That's what happened to Jesus. He was completely dead. He was brought back to life. And it says that same power that was in Jesus is also working in us. So that's basically infinite power. It's kind of like when you think about it like that, when we were talking about the beginning and saying, you know, there's things that make us uncomfortable and there's things that we don't really feel like we're prepared to do. We don't have enough time or ability or, you know, just the energy to do the things God asks us to do. Really, on our own, we don't. We probably don't. We probably don't have what it takes. But through God and through His Spirit and the power that He has to bring Jesus back to life through that, we are able to do whatever He asks us to do. Because it's really not us and our own ability that's doing it. It's God's Spirit working through us. And there's enough power there to accomplish anything that God wants done. Another verse is Romans 8, verse 11. It says, "In the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you." So it's kind of saying the same thing as the verse we just read, except a little bit more condensed. That the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is a power that is that Spirit that's in us. And He's giving us new life. Through that new life is how Jesus plans to change the world. One more verse from Ephesians about that. Chapter 3, verse 14 through 21. So it's a little bit longer section. It says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom His whole family in heaven and on earth derives His name. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through the Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you may be rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the Church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen." So Paul's praying for this church, and he's basically praying that it would be God working and accomplishing His will, not just them on their own. He's praying that God would strengthen them through His Spirit. And at the end there, he says basically who he is praying this prayer to, and it's to God, who has power to do more than we can ask or imagine. So if you think about, wow, what if we can all imagine great things that could happen in the world and how the world could be better. And what it says here is that God has the power to do more than you can even think of. The greatest idea you've ever had, God has the power to do more than that. And the way He does this is through us. It's through His Spirit working in us. So I guess if that's what He says is, if that's what this is kind of a theme through the Bible. We looked at Ephesians and a couple other verses where it says kind of God has this power and he wants to give it to His children to do His work. What does it kind of look like for that to be happening? So there's three ways I don't want to kind of look at, and there's one thing I want to say first is that when I'm talking about God and His Spirit, there's more than three ways God can work and God can do His will, but there's three ways that I kind of want to look at to give you some ideas, but obviously there's a lot more that God has the ability to do. The first one is He gives us guidance, He gives us ability, and He gives words. So I'm gonna first go to Luke chapter 4, verse 1 through 2. And this is kind of talking, it is talking about Jesus and, when He was on earth. And the Bible talks about how Jesus was really, when He came to earth, he gave up being God. And it says He's a man just like us. He felt the same things we did, and he was, all of the temptations and the fears that we have, Jesus felt those, but He was able to do what He did and be, to live the life, the perfect life that He did through the Spirit of God in Him. And this is right after Jesus was baptized and kind of began His ministry. It says, "Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert, where for 40 days He was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, He was hungry." So this is an example of how Jesus was guiding, or I'm sorry, not Jesus. The Spirit was guiding Jesus. After he was baptized, the Spirit kind of took him and told him where to go and showed him where what to do. So one of the ways God empowers us is through just guiding us in our life and showing us the path to take. Another verse about that is Romans 8, where we were reading a minute ago, verse 14. It says, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. It's kind of this idea that if we're really God's children, we're going to be listening to his Spirit. And we're going to be following and doing what he kind of tells us to do. That's what our life is going to look like. At least like on the inside, that's what's going to be going on, is God's going to be telling us, leading us and showing us what our life should look like. And we'll be following it and doing what he says. And part of how he leads us starts with spending time talking to God. If you aren't spending any time reading or praying, you're probably not going to hear God talk to you very much. But it's when you start spending time with God and connecting with him, and reading the Bible and talking to him and questioning, say, Lord, what does this mean? What are you trying to tell me through your word? And praying and spending time with God, all of a sudden you'll start hearing God talk to you all the time, not just when you're reading the Bible. He does talk about in Ephesians, another place in the Bible, that through his word, his Spirit interacts with us through that and leads us and kind of takes just, you know, the words and they're makes them alive and makes them apply to us and makes them challenge us. And so he does speak to us through that, but there's also an element where when we do that and we develop a connection with God and with his Spirit, all of a sudden he speaks to us more than just then. He speaks to us all the time, and throughout the day you'll kind of be talking to God throughout the day and asking him what to do, and he'll tell you. He'll lead you throughout the day and throughout your life. Another way he empowers us is through giving us abilities and things we couldn't do on our own. Because I think it's really easy to see things that need to be done, and our first impression or reaction, I think, is that is true, that needs to be done, but I'm not the one to do it because I don't have what it takes. I don't have the abilities to do whatever this thing is. So there's a section I want to look at in First Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 1, it says, now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. So it's kind of this idea that he says ignorant, but it's like he doesn't want us to, he wants us to know that there are spiritual gifts, and there are ways that God gives us abilities to do his will, and not like blind, and not like, the point is, I think we should know that that's there. We should know that that is a way God empowers us, is through his Spirit. And then a little later, verse 4 through 7, he says, he says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. So kind of this idea that it's all God working through us, but there's obviously a lot of different needs in the world and a lot of different needs in his church. And through the same Spirit, God is enabling different people to fulfill those needs. So that's what he's saying. It says, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there's given the Spirit of the message of wisdom. So this idea that God is going to use some people to speak words of wisdom, probably from his word. And that's kind of self-explanatory. And then to another, the message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, interpretation of tongues. all these are the work of one Spirit, of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. So we have to keep in mind what is why, I guess, and how, and who's really doing it. And it's God doing it. It's God giving us the ability to carry out his work. It's not like we decide there's something we want to be able to do, a certain power, if you will, that we want to have, and we have it because we're God's children. It's God putting work in front of us and jobs in front of us and saying, you can't do this on your own, but through me, I'm gonna enable you to carry out my work. And he gives us what we need to do it. So that's kind of what all those are, is they all apply to different areas in the church where there are things that God needs done, and that's how we do it, is through his Spirit working in us and enabling us. And lastly, he gives us words. There's a couple places, there's three verses we're going to look at that talk about this. And the last one is in Ephesians. I'm sorry, the first one's in Ephesians. It's chapter 6, verse 17 through 20. And it says, okay, so this is Paul kind of wrapping up the end of his letter to this church. And did I say 19? 17, okay. And he says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayer and request. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. There's kind of this idea that through the Spirit, we're supposed to interact with God's Spirit and request and have this dialogue with God and pour out our hearts to him and request his help in our lives. And then he says, pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. So Paul just finished saying how we should, you know, take the word of God and the Spirit and pray in the Spirit. And then he says, and pray that God will give me words to speak. I think what he's saying is, pray that God, through the Spirit, gives me the words to speak that on my own I'm not going to be able to come up with. I think that's what he's saying is, you know, so each of us, we should be praying that, you know, God gives us the words throughout life to speak, to bring others closer to God. Another place kind of talks about this idea is Matthew 10, verse 20. And this is Jesus talking to his disciples and kind of preparing them. He says, for it will not, I'm actually starting verse 19. He says, but when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. So to kind of connect that with what Paul was saying, he was saying, pray for me. And then connect it here where Jesus says is, the Spirit of God is going to give you words to speak to show others what, who God is. So like if the point of it is that people would come to know God and that through the whatever words you be speaking, that God would be glorified and be exposed, it makes sense that God would give you the words to say to bring others closer to him. And Paul was saying, pray for me that God will do this, that God will enable us to do that. And then in Acts 4, verse 31, last verse about this, says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. So this idea that along with them being filled with the Spirit, and I presume us as well, that along with that comes courage, I guess, to speak the words of God, and the ability to speak when we on our own wouldn't really have the ability to, and wouldn't have the guts, I guess, to speak God's word. But that's what comes along with God's Spirit working in us, is things that on our own we can't do. Through God's power, we are able to do that. So that's the end of that. I guess the application is to listen to the Spirit and then do what it says. So how do you guys think we would listen to the Spirit?
What?
How do we listen to the Spirit? Mm-hmm. But how do we? Okay, right. And that's what God promises, that He will guide us and He will lead us. And part of it is like that connection I was talking about earlier, that we have when we read the Bible and when we pray and we ask God to lead us, He will. But it kind of starts with asking God and praying and reading the Bible and knowing what God's will is. And through that, and as a result of that connection, He will throughout life speak to you. Yeah. Yeah. And it's also like God gives us this awareness of people that on our own we might not even think of, and in situations where things might not even cross our mind, but all of a sudden God leads us and He puts a thought in our head, wow, look, you know, there's somebody. He makes you aware of situations that on your own we might not be, but like you're saying, that comes from asking Him, and He will lead you if you ask. Yeah. Yes.
I guess he's in the hospital. I forgot what for, but I think it's either gallbladder surgery or kidney stone surgery.
Yeah, definitely. And that's kind of, yeah, that's an opportunity God has put in front of us to, and maybe that's something that God just kind of put on your heart, and that's the area where you can go encourage Him, and maybe you can go read the Bible to Him or something. Yeah, you should do that, definitely. Another way, so reading the Bible and then and praying and talking to God, and like I said, asking questions, and yeah, that's about it. And then when He does lead you, obey and do it immediately, because I think one of the biggest way that we are kind of distracted is by putting it off. And I think Satan knows if he can distract us for a little bit or make us feel like it's not that urgent, we don't need to do it right then, we lose a lot of urgency. And that's a way that he kind of weakens our ability to really follow Christ and to do what he asks us to do. And the result of this then is that we will, if we do listen to God and we are asking him just to lead us and we are aware of when he does lead us, and we do it, the result is that we will be doing what God has made us to do, and we'll be living like Jesus did. There's a verse in Luke 14, verse 18, 14, I'm sorry, chapter 4, verse 14 through 18. It's a little bit after the verse we read earlier. It says, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. And he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim the freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, and to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." It says, then he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began to speak by, I'm sorry, he began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And that's what happens with us too, is if we listen to the Spirit and we follow its leading, we will be, like it says, he appointed him to preach good news to the poor and to proclaim freedom to the prisoners. And that's kind of, that's what the purpose of each of our lives is to show others that there is freedom in Christ. And that's how we do it, is by letting God work in us and accomplish his will through us. So for each of you guys, what's your next step? If you don't have Christ as your King and his Spirit living in you, then your next step is, like we read in that one verse in Acts, repent from your sin and make God your King. Repent, be baptized, and let his Spirit come in you and make you a new person. If you've already done that, then you need to listen to God's Spirit and do what he says.